Today, on the Attorney Career Advice Podcast with Harrison Barnes.
Companies were literally advertising for attorneys in movie theaters.
I've seen law firms cut a lot of people. So kind of instead of cutting the salaries back, typically what the law firms will do is they'll just do mass layoffs.
Today we're talking about a pretty cool subject, and it's centered on law firm associate salaries. And it's this idea that the increasing pressure to constantly raise associate salaries could actually have a detrimental effect on the legal industry in the long term. So let's get right into it. And why don't you just start off by telling me what exactly is it about law firms in particular that sort of drives this need to constantly raise salaries and compete against each other?
Well, they're all competing for a similar pool of talent, which tends to be, and especially the larger firms, they're interested in people that went to the best law schools, that have experience as summer attorneys in the best firms, or when they're looking at laterals. And so they're looking for a certain type of attorney generally. And they know that if they don't have salaries that are the same as the other large law firms, that people will go to them instead. So they feel like a lot of pressure, mainly in the major cities. They feel a lot of pressure to have the same salaries as other large firms in order to be competitive. And because of that competition, and they're competing to have the best attorneys, if they feel like if they don't have those attorneys, then they're worried that they'll even lose clients because they won't have people that look good on paper.
And that definitely makes sense. And you mentioned that this is really common amongst the larger firms in major cities. Does this happen as frequently amongst smaller firms and firms in regional markets?
Firms in regional markets, typically, they don't always have major firms that are paying those high market salaries. So it depends on the regional market. But for the most part, the salaries are not as high in most regional markets. So a regional market, an example would be Cincinnati or a market like that. There's not going to be as much competition, but typically there may be one or two large firms there. But when you get into the major markets, which would be Chicago, LA, Los Angeles, Houston, places like that, San Francisco, then the salaries, attorneys have lots of options to go to firms. And if they have the qualifications to work in a major law firm, then typically that the law firms have to be worried that they'll, if their salaries don't keep pace, they may go to one of those.
So it's definitely a competitive attitude that's driving this desire to raise salaries. But are there any instances where the whole market takes a step back, like all law firms decrease at the same time? Is there ever a release to this building pressure?
No, I've actually never seen that. What I have seen, though, is I've seen law firms cut a lot of people. So kind of instead of cutting the salaries back, typically what the law firms will do is they'll just do mass layoffs, or they won't give raises for a short period of time, or they'll cut people back. They'll lay people off, I guess, is really the main thing that I see. So every time there's a lot of salary increases and the salaries go up very rapidly, the law firms typically, when the market slows down, which it always does, will suddenly lay off a lot of people.
Do you want to take back control of your legal career? We have a solution for you. Harrison Barnes, the number one legal recruiter with over 20 years of experience, hosts weekly webinars followed by live Q&A sessions every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. These webinars are packed with helpful information that you can use to advance your legal career. Best of all, after each webinar, Harrison stays for as long as needed in order to answer every question. Webinars take place on Zoom, and you can join the next webinar by using the Zoom ID. The Zoom ID for this webinar is 868-9816-5944. Again, that Zoom ID is 868-9816-5944. You can also find more information by going to coaching.oar.com.
What are the long-term effects of these mass layoffs?
The law firms are generally fine. There are some law firms that have, when they do these sort of layoffs, do have, long-term damage to their brands. And I can certainly name most of the firms over the past 20 years that have big reputations that have laid people off. And there's certain firms that just never do it. And there's others that frequently do. And most people in the market don't understand the dynamic, but there are firms that are definitely very quick to lay people off. Another thing that happens that's very unfortunate is the problem when an attorney loses their job is that the other firms, especially other large law firms, are reluctant to hire them because most law firms, even when they do layoffs, don't lay off everybody. So if you get laid off, even if half your class gets laid off, or three quarters of your class, the message is that you are the one that the law firm didn't want to hold on to. That just sends question marks in terms of what kind of attorney you might be in the future. And it makes it much more difficult for those attorneys to get hired in the future. So it destroys a lot of careers. And many times those careers are destroyed. And I don't know if destroy is the right word, but I would say it damages careers. It can damage them in the short term, or it can damage them in the long term. But the big thing is when junior associates and mid-level associates and senior associates lose their job, it becomes much more difficult for them to find another job and typically to get into a firm that's at the same prestige level in the future.
So it sounds like there's really, it's almost a talent issue. If all of these attorneys are being laid off at the same time, there's probably a lot of very talented attorneys that are still rising in their careers that'll never make it to the level that they otherwise could. And that's something that's going to hurt clients, that's going to hurt law firms, that really does hurt the industry as a whole. Is that correct?
It doesn't, it doesn't necessarily hurt clients, but it doesn't necessarily hurt law firms. The people that are hurt the most are attorneys, because the attorneys, if they're laid off in major markets, they just have a difficult time finding jobs again, is all. And it's certainly not the end of the world. There's other jobs that they can do, and they always get something. But a lot of times they will lose a lot of confidence. And so when they lose confidence, their careers often end. And that's the sad part. They leave a big market and they go to a smaller market, and they just bad things happen. And I meet attorneys all the time that tell me, oh, I was a summer associate in this big firm. And then the recession came and they weren't able to get a job. And then they ended up doing something completely different with their careers and never worked in a big firm again, or sometimes never practiced law. They'll say, oh, I worked for 2 years at this firm, and then the same sort of thing. So it's just, it can do a lot of damage to an attorney's career when they're laid off very early in their career.
Do you know the secrets to getting your dream legal job? We do. And one of the best things you can do is apply to jobs that fly under the radar. Applying to openings with very little competition means you stand a much higher chance of getting hired. But how do you find openings like that? For starters, you're not going to find them on major job boards, because these jobs are usually only advertised on companies' websites and in small regional publications. That is why we created LawCrossing, the most comprehensive database of legal jobs in the world. We have a team of people constantly working to find every single legal job out there. Unlike other job boards, which only list jobs that companies pay to post, we include every legal job we can find in order to maximize your chances of finding a job. So, what are you waiting for? Head over to www.lawcrossing.com to find your dream legal job today.
And that definitely makes a lot of sense. And you mentioned in the article that these salary wars, they don't really have a real connection to the market conditions. So what exactly are these salary wars tied to? What causes them to start and grow? And are there certain events that cause more, you know, heated salary wars?
So typically what happens is the economy gets very busy. And when the economy gets busy, a couple things happen. So the first kind of salary war that I saw, I think, occurred in, maybe it was like 2000 or something like that. I don't remember. Maybe it was 1999, around there. And what was happening then is all of these internet companies were starting in the Bay Area, and people were, want all these corporate attorneys wanted to go into the in-house, because if they went in-house, they would make these, they had the opportunity to get stock options and become rich. And so enough people were, that was happening to enough people that everyone started doing everything they possibly could. It was like a gold rush, and leaving law firms to go into inside companies. And it was so crazy back then that people were literally, law firm, like companies were literally advertising for attorneys in movie theaters. And I had one candidate in the Bay Area that was out there interviewing, and they took a job, and then they went to a movie. Before the movie started, something came up on the screen about an in-house counsel job, so they decided to go there, and then they turned down my offer, went in-house. That's how crazy it was. So the law firms couldn't hold on to people. So the salaries, like the starting salaries, went overnight in the Bay Area from like $80,000 to $120,000. And it was started by a firm called Gunderson Dettmer back then, because they just couldn't hold on to attorneys. It was impossible for them, because everybody wanted to go in-house. And so that was the first thing. But subsequent salary wars have happened. They happened again in, I think, 2005 or 6. And every time they happen, they're really driven by corporate activities. So what that means is it means that the corporate markets get very busy, and there's lots of mergers, there's public stock offerings, companies need a lot of work done. And so the corporate departments of law firms get very busy. The problem with law firms is law firms want to pay all their attorneys in all their practice areas the same. So instead of just raising the salaries of the corporate attorneys, they raise the salaries of everyone, which increases their cost dramatically. And they don't necessarily need to do that, but they do. Even though corporate may make up, doesn't even make up probably 20% of all the attorneys in the country, I don't know what the percentage is, but it's not a huge percentage. They raise everyone's salaries. And so that makes the cost of doing business for companies more expensive. It makes the cost of all forms of work more expensive, including litigation. And it's all really driven by corporate law.
So that's a really good point. And that actually is the next point in the article about how these salary wars force a lot of law firms to increase their cost of doing business just to stay competitive. But by increasing that cost, you're actually making yourself less competitive. So it's really a catch-22. Now, is there any sort of advice that you can give to law firms if they find themselves in this situation where there's pressure for them to raise their salaries, but they don't actually have the means to do? Like, what would you advise a law firm to do in that situation?
Well, when law firms are in that situation, which is a lot of law firms, you have small firms that have that problem. You have medium-sized law firms. You have firms that aren't doing a lot of this corporate work that can be very profitable. So when they get in that situation, they start talking about, oh, our lifestyle's better, or more people will make partner, and these are things that they say because they don't have as much work coming in. It's not, maybe they really do believe in their lifestyle and stuff, but most law firms quickly change from lifestyle firms to let's make money firms if they have the work. It's just because it's a competitive business and clients want to go with firms that are going to work the hardest for them. So no client says, I want a lifestyle law firm where the attorneys are going to sit down and not work hard and ignore my issues. That's insane. I mean, you have to think about it. Would you want a doctor that says he's a lifestyle doctor and will work on you when you have an emergency when he feels like it? This is just it's nonsensical. But the point is that law firms, the cost of business does increase. And so the smaller law firms will do things. Oftentimes what they'll do is they'll hire the sorts of attorneys that couldn't get jobs with a major law firm because they may be smart and go to good schools, but they may not have the personality or interviewing ability or who knows. But that's how that works. It's just, but those law, it's harder for those law firms to remain competitive.
When these salary wars tend to lead to mass layoffs, what really changes in the industry? What happens to those attorneys that get laid off? Are most of them able to find new jobs at smaller firms, or do the majority just move on to a different career path?
Well, when there's mass layoffs, I think most of them are able to find jobs. But they'll do things like they'll find jobs with smaller firms. Some of them will go in-house. Others will go into the government. And they'll do things that they normally wouldn't be doing that soon in their careers, and they won't get as much experience. A lot of them will start businesses. Sometimes they'll move markets and get a job in another market, which I think is a smart thing to do. So they'll go to a busy market. So sometimes when the market's really bad, what ends up happening is markets like Texas might get busy, stay busy. There was one slowdown. I don't know when it was, like 2010 or something, a long time ago, where there was, the market slowed down all over the country, but at the same time, there was oil prices were really high. So Texas stayed very active. And so sometimes people can move to different markets when it gets very busy because there's opportunities there, but not always.
Now, can the same be said for switching practice areas, or is that much more difficult than just switching to a new market?
It is difficult, but what happens a lot of times when the market slows down is corporate gets very slow. So sometimes people can switch to other practice areas. Like a lot of times I've seen people switch to litigation, but it's very difficult to get hired laterally switching practice areas because law firms hire people laterally that have a certain type of experience. So if you don't have that experience, then that they don't have a lot of incentive to hire you.
That definitely makes a lot of sense. And now the next point in the article is how these mass layoffs tend to make everyone's careers less secure, including partners, counsel, things like that. So my question now is, what exactly can an associate or a partner do to insulate themselves from these mass layoffs or protect themselves in the face of these salary wars?
Well, the best thing they can do is really by going to the very, very best firm they possibly can. And there's certain firms that just don't really lay people off. The other thing they can do is many times is attorneys that go to smaller to mid-sized markets are often isolated from this stuff. I've often told the story that a lot of people that I've worked with a lot of people that I know that worked in smaller markets growing up after law school, I don't know if growing up is a good word, but after law school, they ended up taking jobs in smaller markets, and those people are still practicing law in law firms. And so that, you know, so if you stay with a smaller law firm, you may be giving up a lot of money in the short run, but at the same time, you may have more security. Another thing I would say that you can do is when there are mass layoffs, the law firms never lay everybody off. They always, I guess they do sometimes, but typically what happens is they only lay off a certain number of the people in the firm, and they lay off the people it's not a fair thing to say because it's just not true. But a lot of times they'll only lay off people, certain people that they really just decided for one way or another, or one reason or another, that they don't think are going to work out in the long run. So you just have to work as hard as you possibly can. You need to get allies in the law firm. You need to be seen as one of the more valuable employees. You need to bill as many hours as you possibly can when things are busy. That's the only thing you can do to protect yourself. And frankly, as unfortunate it is, even that is not a guarantee that you're going to be okay. So you have to, unfortunately.
And off of this, we can segue into the next point of the article, which is that law firms have very little tolerance for on-the-job learning. If that's the case, how can attorneys better prepare themselves or better educate themselves at their job skills without having to do so on the clock? What resources do attorneys have for bettering themselves without doing it on the law firm's dime?
The only thing that I can really say that, you know, that an attorney needs to do is they need to just, in terms of educating themselves and so forth, they really need to do the best they possibly can and just throw themselves in and commit themselves to the work that they're doing. There's really nothing else that you can do, and you need to live it. And if you're not living it, it's going to be much harder for you to succeed in the long run. That may not sound like the best advice, but you have to go and you have to be all in. The people that are all in, that are giving it their all and really trying and doing everything they possibly can, frankly, those people don't lose their jobs as often. They tend to have a lot more staying power. And you have to be the best person in the firm at your job to the extent you can.
Yeah, that definitely makes a lot of sense. You should always try to go above and beyond the call of duty whenever possible. Do what you can to stand out. And if a time comes when a firm has to lay off a lot of people, they're going to remember all the people who went above and beyond. They're going to remember the people who have always been striving for excellence in their work. And they're going to do whatever they can to keep those people on, because those are the people who are most valuable to the firm. Now, just building off of that a little bit, if you're in a firm where they don't really, you know, have time or tolerance for this mentoring and on-the-job training, are there local organizations like professional groups of attorneys where you can go and find a mentor outside of your firm? Or is that just not advisable? And what do you think about that?
You can. And I do think, and I have lots of people that frankly pay me to be their mentor. To the extent you can find mentors, it's a great idea. I think having mentors is a very smart thing. I think if I was an attorney, I would do everything I could to have the best mentors. And definitely, yeah, you definitely want mentors. I'm a mentor to people. I know lots of, you know, being a mentor is a very smart thing, and getting a mentor. Ideally, you want a mentor in your own firm, but if it's not your own firm, then some sort of mentor is going to be, it would be very helpful for you. You need mentors because they're people that can, you know, really can look out for you.
And that's actually a really good point.
And give you advice about things that you may not be seeing. I'm sorry to interrupt. But just the things that you don't know that you may be doing wrong, they can prevent you from prevent those things from happening.
Exactly. Because you, at that point, when you have a mentor, you're learning from somebody else's mistakes. You're learning from their experience. So you have almost like a diving board that you can jump off from, mm-hmm. as opposed to having to climb your way up the ladder and make all those mistakes yourselves.
Yeah.
So that is definitely one of the most valuable. And this applies not just to attorneys. This is for any professional. To find a mentor is going to help you accelerate your career. And that's right. A really good point about you can actually go out and find a professional mentor, somebody who mentors people regularly, who has maybe a little bit different experience. Like in your case, you see the legal industry from like a 10,000 foot view, and you can give a much more pointed mentorship in terms of developing your legal career, as opposed to just the day-to-day skills that you should have learned in law school and you should be learning on the job anyway. So that's really good advice to people, is to go out and find a mentor outside of your law firm, outside of your community. Just go and find somebody who you resonate with, who you think can help you, you know, build your career in a way that's going to be most suitable for you. Because not everyone has the same idea of what an ideal career is. So you may need to find a mentor. You may need to look for a while to find the mentor who's best for you.
So I definitely believe that getting a mentor is just a very smart thing to do. I can't recommend it enough. They can tell you what's going on. They can help you make mistakes. I try to, you know, mentor people and provide very good guidance. But at the same time, people definitely need mentors. There's nothing, it's extremely important.
Yeah. And now one of the other side effects of these increasing salary wars are this idea that some people just go into the practice of law for the money and they're not really passionate about it. They're not really excited to be practicing, but they just want to have a high paying career. And that can have a really negative impact on the industry as a whole. So what are your thoughts on that? And what can law firms do to sort of, I guess, weed out those people who are just trying to get a job in a law firm that pays the most?
Do you want to grow your legal career? A lateral move might be the right choice to get you on track for your career goals. Working with a legal placement firm like BCG Attorney Search can open doors for you and help you live the life you dream of. If you're looking for a new legal job, send us your resume so we can help. Visit www.bcgsearch.com and click on Submit Resume to be paired with one of our legal placement professionals who will work tirelessly on your behalf to get you your dream legal job. Submit your resume to www.bcgsearch.com to get started today.
That's a really good question. I think that part of the best way to weed people out is to just talk to them. So when you talk to people that are in a law firm just trying to make money, a lot of times they will be concerned with money. When you talk to them about the work that they're doing, they really won't seem to have a lot of interest in it. It'll come across that they're just more interested in they're more interested in making money or things unrelated to what they should be interested in than the law firm. So that's then practicing law. And that's how I pick up on it. I see it all the time. It's very, very common for people to be in the law firm game just to make money. And those sort of people typically get weeded out very quickly. It's not always. So law firms do need to ask the right questions. But in my opinion, the way to see that is just how the person comes across when you're interviewing them, how interested they actually seem in the work, the questions they ask, how motivated they seem, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's definitely really good advice. And that's going to happen pretty much regardless of whether these salary wars are happening or not. But it definitely makes sense that there will be periods where you'll get an influx of those types of people, and law firms will have to be even more careful, especially when hiring out of law schools, just to ensure that they are getting the people who are in it to win it. They're committed to the practice of law and not just the salaries that come with it.
Yeah. And just one thing I would say, I don't necessarily think there's anything wrong with attorneys being interested in making money. That's perfectly fine. In a law firm, there should be a reward for doing really well in school. And so it's not that there's something necessarily wrong with an attorney doing everything they can to really wanting to make a lot of money. The only thing that concerns me is when those same attorneys get into a law firm and they're more interested in money than anything, then they're just thinking about that and not necessarily the work that they do. And that can be very harmful for them, I think, in the long run. It doesn't lead to anything good because that's short-term thinking. You really need to be more concerned about your career than making money when you get out of school.
Absolutely. And I would think that even among attorneys who really do get into the practice of law for the right reasons, they're passionate about helping people, solving other people's problems, being an advocate for people, even they sometimes can get what you call this spoiled rich child syndrome, where they have an inflated sense of self-worth. And that definitely ties into this concept of high salaries. So how do you see that impacting law firms directly? Not just the attorneys, when they leave, they have this to overcome, but how can that sense of entitlement affect the law firms?
The sense of entitlement affects the law firms because the attorney becomes very concerned about the things that they really probably shouldn't be as concerned about. And again, I'm not necessarily saying these are bad things. If an attorney is very concerned about the money that they make, if they're concerned about the benefits they get, if they're just all into those things, it ends up being very harmful. So a way to tell you a couple of quick stories about this, how that works. What'll happen is an attorney will get out of school and they'll go to work in a law firm and they'll take a job and they'll be concerned about their salary and how much they're paid and all that's fine. But then they start viewing everything based on not just their salary, but how their parking benefits and then what their insurance is. And so they start evaluating everything based on those sorts of things. And then that ends up, you know, hurting them. And because they're concentrating more on that, that then they're getting more concentrated on the rewards more than their contribution. And they really should be concentrating on their reward, their contribution. Because the thing is, when people over-contribute and they do a good job over a long period of time, there really is a motivation that the employer has to reward them. And so that's just, that only happens when the attorney is contributing over a long period of time.
So that definitely makes a lot of sense. And speaking of contributing over a long period of time, the next point is this concept that the law firm salary wars actually prevent law firms from paying certain senior attorneys what they're worth, and they end up being underpaid. So why is that the case? And what can law firms do to right the ship and make sure that everyone is earning what they deserve?
Well, and it's not a question of, I think that's a good point. It is not always a question of what they deserve, but what happens is the law firms, to remain competitive and bring in the right people, they have to take from somewhere. So a lot of times what they'll do is they'll take from people that don't have the power to fight back. So like a senior attorney that doesn't have any business, a lot of times the only thing that it's very difficult for them to get a job, so the law firms can pay them whatever they want. So they'll start drastically reducing their pay to keep those attorneys employed, or to be able to hire more senior attorneys. And it's unfortunate because I see what happens a lot of times is they'll actually be paying many times the senior associates and even partners less money than they're paying many of their other people. So it's just, it can be sad.
Before we wrap things up here, I'm just wondering, is there ever a really good reason for law firms to raise salaries, either competitively or otherwise? Or do you really think it would just be better for the industry as a whole if everything just leveled off and then people were really just paid based on their performance and their value to the firm? What do you think would be the ideal way that the industry should move forward?
I think that the best, I don't know how that, you can't really control what's going on and how the market works. It's just that the industry is not going to get together and price things a certain way. But the way that I think it would work best, frankly, is to, if law firms would set, instead of just paying people a certain amount of money to show up, if they incentivized them with a certain way. So if they had like a certain way to incentivize them. If attorneys really did work a number of hours, they could make a certain amount of money and that sort of thing. So that's how I would think it should work. But I who knows if that would ever happen. But the idea would be to, based on how many hours someone works, their contribution, they would get paid a certain amount.
Of course. And it can't go on forever, right? There's not just an infinite amount of money that attorneys can be paid. So do you actually think there might be some sort of glass ceiling at some point? Do you think law firms will eventually reach a number of a starting attorney salary that's just too ridiculous and they all look at each other and say, what the heck have we done? Well, where is the stopping point?
There's no stopping point because the law firms will continue to do that as long as clients will pay for it. So law firms, as long as the clients will pay for it and they're able to remain competitive, then there's really no sense of anything stopping. It's just that the law firms continue doing it forever. You know, so it doesn't have to stop. But the point is, as long as the legal work is competitive, so the law firms need to make sure that the legal work that they're doing is competitive and that that they're offering value for the money that they're charging. It's just the concern is that if they're not, then clients are going to go elsewhere.
Exactly. Everything is a balancing act. And at the end of the day, it's really the law firm management. It's their responsibility to make sure that they're balancing client needs with the ability to attract the best talent coming out of law school and making lateral moves. So that really is up to the individual firm to decide how they're going to manage these salary wars to make sure that in the long run, they're not going to be hurting themselves.
Yeah, and then one final point I would make is that the salaries, even if a law firm is paying very high salaries, it doesn't necessarily, paying someone that's new out of school or paying young people these high salaries is not necessarily a bad thing, even from the client's perspective, because and I hate to take, this is almost like a eugenics type argument, and it really isn't meant to be, but the smartest people are often able to figure out legal problems and win legal matters better than people that may not have as much natural talent for the practice of law and to figure out legal problems. And for that, I'll actually just throw myself under the bus, because when I was practicing law, and I can think of three instances where this occurred, only three, but there were three instances. There was one guy that was of counsel at a firm I once worked at, and he was extremely smart. He'd gone to like Yale Law School, but he was actually insane too. He kept going in and out of hospitals for mental problems, but he was extremely smart. And if I would talk to him about a legal matter, like his insight was so far beyond something that I could understand many times that I was like, this guy is freaking just off the rails. Like he could blow me. He's smart. He's way smarter than I am legally. And if he was able to make an argument in front of a judge, he would win. And if a company was hiring him, they would be way better off than I was, than using me. The guy couldn't keep it together, but he was very smart. And then there was also the only other person I ever encountered that was a partner in another law firm I worked with that was a service partner. He didn't have any business, but he was the same thing. He was just so freaking smart that it just could blow me away with his insights. So there's certain people that practice law that are very smart that really have unique abilities that are worth paying for. And if you hire people that are that smart, then you're going to get better legal. You're going to more likely to win. I had another guy that came to work for me. He graduated from, I think, Berkeley at the age of 20 years old. I think he was one of the youngest graduates of the law school in history. And he was so young, no one would hire him. So he came to work for me. And he would, every litigation case the guy took, he saw what was going on so well that he would always win his arguments because he would understand things. The point is, you're paying these high salaries. There's nothing wrong with paying for the best legal abilities, and companies actually are better off paying for that most of the time, and law firms are better off with those type of people. The problem is you're not going to get that. Most of the time when you hire the smartest people, you may get something really good, but you're not going to get off the rail smart. And I think off the rail smart is definitely worth paying a lot of money for, because I've just seen what a difference it can make. But most attorneys aren't like that. Even the ones that graduate from the best schools and have the best records. It's just, there's very few people that are at that level. So.
And that absolutely makes a lot of sense. And that just reminds me of another article that you wrote about where the idea that it's okay to be an average attorney, because in order to be truly exceptional, in order to have this really high intelligence, you just naturally are a very small part of the population. And there can only be a very small part of the population of attorneys who are at that highest level. It's okay if you're not at, you know, the highest level or you're not the smartest attorney, maybe just focus on the things that make you happy in your career and your work-life balance, and don't worry so much about trying to compete with these, you know, extremely intelligent people, because as you say, they just have a natural talent, and that's okay. They're always going to be head and shoulders above the rest, but unfortunately, a lot of times that comes with some other issues too. I think this is really good advice for both attorneys and law firms that we just talked about today. And do you have any closing words, any closing pieces of advice for anyone listening?
No, that's about it. My piece of advice to law firms would be, if you're going to hire a lot of smart people like that, you need to be careful. If you're an attorney, you need to, you know, be careful about just being directed by salary. Most attorneys that take high salaries too, the final thing is that what ends up happening is that if they take a really high salary earlier in their career, most of what you're doing is you're front loading your compensation. So you're not going to make as much money over the long run many times. You're going to take a lot of money up front, but then you're going to have a harder chance of making partner. You're going to have a harder chance of advancing in a law firm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that definitely makes a lot of sense. As you say, you're front loading your career as a whole because you're getting this huge compensation up front, but it's going to be very difficult for other firms to meet your demands, and then you may end up with a sense of entitlement that sort of damages your career in the long run. That's another good piece of advice for attorneys starting out, is that you don't necessarily have to go for the highest salary right off the bat. You know, you could burn out quickly. So maybe look at that long-term strategy instead and figure out, well, 15, 20 years from now, how can I make sure that I'm in the highest position possible?